Well, amen. What a blessing it is to be back tonight. Thank you, Brother Sexton, for the message. What a blessing that was. He said he didn't have nerve to say, Brother Willis had said, but it sounded to me like he had pretty much nerve. God does give you some boldness sometimes that you don't know is there. And I appreciate it. But he didn't preach anything that I could not say amen to. Not one thing that I can recall at this moment that I would not have been 100%. And if I could have, I'd have preached it. Amen. That's just the way I thank you, brother. I appreciate Brother Sexton. What a blessing. He's been in my life. I connected with him because of Doug Bale.
Amen.
Out of this church.
Right.
And God's blessed. And
Amen.
And I praise the Lord for their church partnering with us and continuing to do so as the Lord leads. There's a lot of things that I've got in my heart that I still want to do.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of it will get done. But I hope God will raise up somebody
Amen.
That'll do what where we leave off,
right.
if you will.
Amen.
Be wonderful to have partners together.
Amen.
We are representing a mission agency, the Gospel Preacher Association, or you can call it GPA Missions. They've handled our finances since 1991. And they don't make any charge to the churches or the missionaries. They operate by faith. But it does take money for that to operate. They are serving some 50 missionaries now through our agency and in 17 different countries. They receive every church or individual that sends money in. They take care of that. They bank our money, and we make a draw monthly. They don't charge anything. But I don't want to be a taker. So years ago, we began to give on a monthly basis. Nothing is required, but we are not going to do that. We want to be a part of the need. Now it takes about $10,000 a month to operate the offices. And so we're representing that mission agency. And you pray for us that God will help. Another thing that we're endeavoring to do, about 30 years ago, some people told us about a burden that they had in a dream. They were missions helps. And I won't go into it because they want to remain anonymous, and I don't want to say too much. Let somebody figure out who it is. But about 30 years ago, these people began to talk to us about something that they'd like to do. They had some land. They barely had enough money, to be honest with you, to do what the Lord had led them to do. And they were involved in missions construction, and they lived out of a trailer for about 40 years. And they've got, like myself, they've gotten old. Time's catching up with them. But they had some land that they had inherited. And they said, one of these days that'll sell, and we want to give some money to help churches get started. And so it has come to fruition. They've become a part of the church that we're members of. They had talked to us in years past when they did this. They was going to put a certain amount of money. They'd said they would like for me to represent that, and they also had talked about the possibility of having Farrell to be on the board, since they knew him and respected him. And so it actually came down. I encouraged them that it needed to be under a local church. And so now it is under Bethel Baptist Church. When they told me they had some land that was going to sell it and wanted to give a portion of it to do this, I immediately said, that's a Barnabas fund. And it just got a hold. And so our last missions conference, the Barnabas Fund came into fruition. And what we are trying to do is we've had some money already given. My wife and I gave the second, once the first was in, my wife and I gave some of the second, and then we've had some others to give. We right now have one church that is partnered in their last missions conference to commit $100 a month, and they'll leave it to our church. There's five of us on the board or committee, or we don't even know what it's called, but that is going to observe this, and we are praying that other churches will come on board and help us. And as that money comes in and we find a need, we'll either do it as a grant or a short-term loan or something to that effect. And so we're looking for churches maybe that couldn't, or that excuse me, let me say church planters that maybe their church couldn't do what some can. And so, like for an example, I went out, my wife and I went out from Vision Baptist Church. The first buildings for the first church, Vision Baptist was in a time that they helped us. They gave us $50 a month, and I appreciate it, and I'm not saying anything against Vision Baptist Church. It's just the way that it was. At the time when I found these two old houses side by side, we was in a storefront building that I'd remodeled and we was paying rent on. And I found these two old houses and I found out I could buy those two houses for $5,100. And do you know we didn't have enough money to buy it? The church that we was starting, we was just a handful of people. We hadn't been started long, but I thought $5,100, I can't pass this up. So we had saved $3,500. And so I made a deal with a man that he would loan my wife and I $1,600 on a 90-day note. And so that's how we bought the first building. Then we didn't have any money to work on the building. We didn't know that there was any places out there. I called a man one time about a book, and he began to question me, and about halfway through there, I thought, boy, this is a lot of questions for a free book on church planting. What I did not know, that man's son was a lawyer and had won a multi-million dollar lawsuit and had put $1 million into a fund to honor his dad, and it was to be given to church planters. And before I got through talking to him, he said, I had bought the trusses or ordered the trusses for that building that day. Again, Farrell and Melissa had four children by that time in 5 years. And they were handling the finances for us and to keep things separate. I mean, it was going into the church, but they was doing all of that. And I don't guess Melissa had too much time, and Farrell's working a full-time job. And I'm just telling you that you see some things out there when you're running on a shoestring. I couldn't go back to them and say, I didn't feel like I could, that we need $1,500 to pay for this. And so, we was able to do it. But then we didn't have any money. And you know what I told my people? I said, it don't cost anything to tear things up. So we'll just start on demolition. And I started in tearing things out and working. My people come in after work and drew nails out so we could use some of the lumber that was built. And so I know that there are those that go out, that there's legitimate needs, And they're doing what they can.
Yeah.
And they're looking for somebody to come alongside of us. And that's what we want this fund to be.
Amen.
We left the last church in Hayes, Kansas. They're paying $1,750 a month rent on a building.
Yeah.
It's the only church. We started five churches. Four of them we left with debt-free buildings.
Amen.
But we just couldn't. That one, we needed to step away. I didn't feel like I could stay until that time come. There'll come a day we're praying. That we've been told that that when the mother who owns this dies, the children will sell the building. It's on the busiest street in Hayes, Kansas. 35,000 people, I'm told by the economic director. 35,000 people a day pass that building. So we've got a marquee, and we put things on it, or they do. We continue. The pastor works full time, and he's got, I forgot how many, five kids, works full time job.
Amen.
And is doing those things to the glory of God.
Amen.
There'll come a time when they'll need to take another step and buy a building.
Right.
And so I'm involved in the Barnabas Fund.
Amen.
I'm also going to teach at our Bible college this year when I can be there.
Amen.
I'm going to miss the first two sessions because I was already booked in other meetings. So there's some things we want to do. I'd like to see a website of resources for church planners and missionaries.
Amen.
And one of the things that I'm trying to do now is collect information on that. I can't do a website. I've been praying for the last while that God had raised somebody up that I could text them and say, so-and-so, Island Ford Baptist Church, you know, can they have this? They can do this. Brother Duncan up at Smithfield, for years, he's taken five or six men and take a van and go west somewhere. They find somebody that needs help, and they'll go in and they pay their own expenses. They'll come in and they'll knock doors or they'll do whatever needs to be done for a week. They've done it twice for me. They did it for Joshua last year. They've done it for Brother Lineberry this year. And so there's people that does things. We've had people come in, and I know that I didn't intend to get into this, but imagine a church planter being in a town, and he sees the children of the town, and he thinks, man, if I could just do a Bible school. But he don't have the resources. He don't have the personnel. But he thinks, if we could just do this. Do you know there's churches, we've had it to happen, there's churches that are looking, pastors are looking, some are looking for a place where they can take their young people on a mission trip. And we've had at least twice, we've had them, some people to come and put on a Bible, a vacation Bible school and pay for everything. It's not that we're takers. We feed them and we do what we can do and we do our part.
Sure.
When Brother Duncan brought his people out, what I did, I had my people to put bags together, door hanger bags. I had them to put things together, put tracks. We had things printed. We done our part. We stuffed them, packed them in boxes. We picked the boxes up and set them in a van, and we hit the road running.
Amen.
We covered every town in our county in less than a week.
Amen.
And went to the Shepler's Western Wear also during that time. And they bought me a Stetson hat. Amen. Anyway, So there's some things that we want to do. If you'd pray with us about it, please. All right, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you. I've already quoted this scripture one time, but I'm going to use this text again, or I've mentioned it more than once. But John chapter 4 and verse 35. John chapter 4 and verse 35 is a very simple scripture, but it's a thought I said the other night. As far as I know, this is the only prayer request the Lord Jesus made while he is upon the earth. Okay? John chapter 4, verse 35. Stand with me for just a moment. I'll read this scripture and try to give you what's on my heart. And then we'll get out of the way. I do appreciate everything that the church has done for us this week. We've stayed at the Days Inn long enough now over the years that I walked in the other night and the lady recognized me and she said, "We've got your home away from home ready." And we've stayed in 169 for years. It's at least a partially handicapped room that's got some rails and everything good for us to get in and out of the tub with. And so we appreciate that. And then I went up for something the next morning, and there's another lady on, and she called me by my name. And so that's kind of, we do feel like that, and we enjoy staying there. It's a blessing. They have a good breakfast, and so thank the Lord for all of that. Appreciate all the good meals here, the good fellowship. There's not been one message preached that I'd call a dud. Every one of them's been right on target. It was a blessing, the singing, all of this. It's encouraged me. It's encouraged me, and I praise God for it. All right, in the book, much less to be with my son and his wife and her grandson and all of this. The only thing missing is some of the great-grandkids. Amen. All right, John chapter 4, verse 35. Jesus said, "Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Father, I bow in your presence tonight. Thank you for your care and strength and help. Thank you, Lord, so much for the message tonight. Lord, it fed my soul. It blessed me, dear Father, and it challenged me, dear Lord. I'm grateful that I can get some help and not in just being able to shout and rejoice and praise God. And I love those messages, dear Father. But also we need those that remind us and cause us to ask ourselves where we are and where we need to be to the glory of God, that we can be drawn up closer, that we can be shown our shortcomings to where at least we then can do something about it. And sometimes we slip back when we don't even realize we are. But somehow, Lord, when something's said, and it may be 100 miles away from where we are, but yet at the same time, Lord, you speak to us about particular things in our lives. When something general is said, you may get specific for us, and I thank you for it. And Lord, thank you again for all of the other messages this week, and that will be, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In this verse, as well as in, as Brother Sexton preached to us and mentioned the Great Commission and read scriptures where that it was located and all of that, I don't see that Jesus is giving us a choice here when he says this. He said it, of course, to individuals that was around him then, but it's recorded in the Word of God and therefore has become a command for us, just as well as it was for them. "Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." So I see this as a command that we are to see the harvest. We are to see it. We are to recognize it. And I want to tell you that I don't believe there's ever been a time in the history of the world that the harvest is as available as it is in this generation. Far as I know, there's never been a time when there's been as many people upon the earth as there is now. As far as I know, there's never been a time, since the beginning of time that there has been as many people lost and undone without God as they are. I would submit to you that there's more churches today, no doubt, than there is. I don't know where there's more saved people or not. I made mention the other night that someone, recently I was made aware that there's some people that believes, the rapture will be explained by the fact that we've all, those that go out in the rapture, that we've all, been sent to the moon to colonize the moon. And that's how that the world is going to be explained to the world. Now, I don't know about that. I'd never heard that one. It was a new one to me. But I was telling my wife about hearing it, and I said, I don't see hardly how that's going to be unless there's even fewer people that's going out in the rapture. And I said, you don't reckon it's just me and you that's going out. And so, of course, you know, I was being facetious and just joking around about it. But I want to tell you today that there's a harvest today. There's a great harvest, and it's white unto harvest. It's just about past. It's just about time to spoil. That wheat, when it turns a whitish and such, it's just about beyond saving. And if it gets too ripe, it'll just fall off out of the kernel onto the ground. And it won't be good for anything. That's the way that it is. Well, when we look at that, but we've never had a time to where we could, it seems like, easier reach the people who are lost than today. We've got so many different things. Brother Brunson was talking the other night and about the different ways that they use and to reach people for Christ. There's all kinds of ways today and all of that. But none of it will avail or be as effective as someone individually and personally going to that lost sinner and telling them about Jesus. The lady that came the other night and made the profession of faith, and somebody was going to her to offer her a Bible, but she admitted that she needed more than that. Amen. She needed to be saved by the grace of God. Amen. Personal contact. And all of that. So I look at this, and I want to challenge you, if you will, from the Word of God, to see the harvest. And as you see the harvest, go and work in the harvest. I knew a family out in Kansas that and the man, Dr. Rex Fuller, worked with Christian Law Association for some years and traveled 7 years with David Gibbs, and Dr. Fuller set up most of the ACE Christian schools in Kansas. And matter of fact, at one time, gave, David Gibbs the thought they was about to close every homeschooling in the state of Kansas. And it had went as far, and they had one more appeal to make. And if they had lost everyone up to that, and if they lost that one, there would be no homeschooling legally in the state of Kansas. And Dr. Fuller said to Brother Gibbs, he said, why could this not be under private schools? They allow private schools. And he wrote whatever it is that went to the court, and it went to the court and was approved. Dr. Fuller pastored the first church that I started for several years. He pastored it later on, and it was the first church that he'd ever pastored. He'd always been in Christian education, but they His wife had inherited her home place, the farm. And so one year something happened. If you know anything about wheat farming, I found this out. Everybody is involved in the harvest. Everybody. Somebody does something. If you go to the grain elevators in Kansas, you'll see a lot of times, you'll see women driving those big grain trucks coming in, because that's something that they can do. And so everybody's involved. And I don't remember where Mrs. Fuller was sick, and she is the one that usually drove the truck, but there was something. And by the way, family comes back home for that. And to help with the harvest, because it's so important. You just got a little while, just a little window of time, and that harvest is going to be gone. And then that's the year's wages, if you will. And so they're intent on getting that harvest in. So they told the story. Dr. Fuller's son, Ed, had married a girl who was a city girl. And they were talking about it and about the who's going to drive the truck, this time. We don't have anybody. Maybe they didn't have anybody they knew that they could hire, to drive it. And they said, wonder who can drive a four in the floor, you know, and all of that. And she said, Brother Ed Fuller's wife, Sandy, she said, I've drove a four in the floor. And they said, well, okay. And as they got to talking to her though, they found out it was a Volkswagen. But her husband took her out there, got her in the truck, worked with her, and she drove the truck that year for them because the harvest was so important. Amen. They used what they had and who was willing.
Right.
They used who was willing. I heard a statement made the other day and it resonated with me about the lepers over there in the Old Testament when the city was shut up and they was selling doves dung to eat, donkey's head to eat, and all of these things. They's about to starve to death and there's two lepers outside. You that are Bible read know the story, know how that they finally come to the conclusion. They said, if we go into the city, we're going to die. In other words, they'd kill them if they went into the city. But they said, if we stay out here, we're going to starve to death. But they said, maybe we could go to the Syrians and if they kill us, we'd but die. But they saw some hope. And do you know, they gave themselves completely. They said, if we die, we die. And they went out there and through their surrender of everything to the point of their lives, they saved the city.
Amen.
Can I tell you today that is there anything more important than getting the Word of God to a lost and dying world? Is there anything more important? Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. And he told them what they would see. He said, for they are white unto harvest. I want you to think about the fields. The Bible says the world is the field. So across the street, across the sea, around the world, they need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at these things, we can find, and I'm not going to turn to these places, but we can find in Matthew 9, 37 and 38, we can find that the harvest is plenteous. We can look at Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, and we'll find out the harvest is precious. And if we look at John 4:35, that we can find the harvest is perishing. And how important it is that we recognize these things, that we see it as it is.
Amen.
Jesus touched the eyes of a blind man, and he asked him if he could see, and he said, I see men as trees walking. And Jesus done something, touched him again, and he was able to see rightly.
Amen.
Could it be that what we need today, and I'd submit to you that it is, not even a question, but could it be that we are missing another touch from God to be able to see the Great Commission as it really is? We need to see it as it is. Listen, I am not one that just says volunteer to go till you're called. But have you ever made yourself available? Have you ever said, Lord, I will go. I am available to go. I want to tell you today that we need some people that will do that.
Amen.
I know more than one pastor that has prayed that God would let him go to the mission field. But God said, I'm not going to let you go. I know one, Brother Dennis Petty. Brother Dennis Petty told me that he prayed and prayed in his younger years that God would let him go to the mission field. But he said the Lord never would give him liberty to go. But he said God told him, revealed to him, that if he'd stay there and pastor his church and be faithful to do what God had called him to do, he said, God told him, said, I'll let you do more and reach more than you ever would if you went to the mission field. And this has been many years ago and before that he left that church. And I know now that it would not be as great an amount, but he was able through the church and through Faith Promise to give over $1 million to missions and has helped many and many and many a person through the messages that he's preached by the grace of God. I want to tell you, we need to see the harvest.
Amen.
But have you ever asked? Let me throw something else out to you. We pray and we encourage our people, those of us that participate in Faith Promise and have pastored, we encourage our people, pray and find the will of God.
Right.
I was in a missions meeting in 1992 in Raleigh, North Carolina. Brother Don Jackson was preaching the meeting and I'd been invited to the meeting. And as he was preaching on Faith Promise that week, he said there's only two kinds of people that have to worry about what to give on Sunday morning. He said the ones that don't get in touch with God or that can't get in touch with God. He said if you'll pray and ask God, he'll give you clear understanding of what you are to give. And we encourage our people to pray and ask God what he would have us to give. I do it. My wife and I do it. And we give together. I really like it when she's come up with the same amount that I have. But if one comes up with more, we just go ahead and do the top one. And we've done it every time. Have we not? We've done it every time. And God, sometimes I think, Lord, you're stretching us. And he does, but he always comes through.
Amen.
If we've got it settled that that's what he wants to give. But have you ever went one step further and not only said, God, how much would you have me to give this year? But what about this? God, how much will you let me give this year? I'm going to tell you, God will stretch you again if you'll find the answer to that one.
Amen.
And it'll be beyond most of the time, or has every time with us, every time we wonder how in the world is this going to happen. But God begins to do it. Now listen, when you're asking God for what you should give or how much he'll let you give through that year, let me go back to Dr. Rex Fuller. He's already passed away now. He and his wife, but they were dear friends. Brother Fuller did not believe in Faith Promise missions giving, and he went to a church and an old man, by the name of Bill Brewer. They started out in a Wesleyan church. They got saved there, but then, they got in a Baptist church, an independent Baptist church. And began to find out some truths and Brother Brewer just took the time to teach them and to lay the things out and all of this, and they got a hold of it from the Word of God, but they still hadn't got a hold of Faith Promise. And so, Dr. Fuller told me that one year, Brother Brewer, was challenging it and asking that it be church-wide. He said, every man let him give, as he purposes in his heart, let him give. Every man. It's supposed to be a church-wide giving for something that you give. And so he said, I said, I'm going to test God. I'm going to try it out. I'm going to do what my pastor says. And he said, every dime that comes in this year from meetings where I speak, I'm going to give. That's going to be my faith promise. He said he was having about, at that time, he was speaking in about 8 or 10 churches. A year was about what the average was to where he'd receive an offering. And he said that year, God put him in more churches and gave him more offerings than he ever had before. And at the time he told me, he said, or that he ever had since.
Amen.
And he said, I was faithful to what I had promised God.
Amen.
And I was able to give that. And he said, from then on, I just committed to give a certain amount as I prayed about it. And God always met my needs.
Amen.
Listen, I'm telling you, we could tell you some stories and others could tell you stories. And can I throw out something else? It's like tithing. Those who do it believe in it.
Sure.
They believe in it.
Sure.
They encourage it because
right.
They know what a blessing it was to us.
Right.
I only bought one vehicle in my life new. I bought a 73 Chevrolet Cheyenne, baby blue. I'd gotten a raise at work, gotten a promotion, got a raise, and so I just couldn't help it. I'd already been salivating over those trucks, and so I went down and bought me one. My wife let me do it, and I bought me one, and I traded in a car on it that was a good car. And all of this, and I traded it in, and I got in trouble.
Yep.
I couldn't pay it.
Yep.
I don't know why. Listen, but my payments was $140 some a month. And, so I didn't want to lose my credit. I financed it through GMAC. I found out if I'd turn it in instead of getting behind and letting them come after it, they offered to finance me another new one the day I turned it in. Oh, no, not me. But let me back up. I didn't turn that one in. I traded with a dealer, and I got me a Vega. Some of you older ones understand that I'm getting out of the frying pan into the fire. I didn't know that those things had aluminum blocks. And you've heard the joke about saying fill it up with oil and check the gas.
Yes.
That's about the way that Vega was.
Yes.
But then I couldn't pay for it. And that's the one I turned in, and they offered to finance me a new one. But I went down the street and bought me a 10-passenger station wagon, a Ford station wagon, and bought that. I borrowed the money on a 90-day note, financed it one time, but in 6 months I was out of debt. With that one, I've never tried another new vehicle. I've never tried another. But when I got in trouble and I was not able to make my payments, because see, I had other payments besides that. But I told my wife, I said, we're gonna tithe. I had no idea I was gonna lose that new truck. I just knew that things get a little bit tight. And I said to her, we're going to tithe if I lose this truck.
Yep.
And God tested me.
Yep.
God put me to the test,
yep,
if you will. And I lost that truck, but we didn't stop tithing.
Amen.
And I've never been in that shape since.
Amen.
I learned that lesson well. I didn't want to go through it, but one time. I want to tell you today, you can trust God.
Amen.
If you'll pray about it. And if you'll ask him, and if you'll wait on him until he gives you the answer before you move, and then you can do something. Well, I'm like Brother Sexton said, some of these things are just on my heart.
Yeah.
And it's not in my notes.
Yeah.
But that's all right. And so I look at this. The second thing I want you to see in my outline is not only that we need or we must see the harvest, and see it correctly, but we must consider the harvesting. How can we harvest such a great harvest? Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. You know probably where I'm going with this, but let me read you these few verses in relation to how can we harvest such a great harvest. The Bible says, of course, in verse 13, and you know the scripture prior to that, but for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now listen to that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then he says, but how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So I look at this scripture, and I could read more, and it pertains to that, but let me tell you today that that we need to recognize that if people are going to be saved, they're going to have to hear the good news. I said it the other night, the gospel is the good news, but it's only good news to the lost person that we get to before they die. If it'll be too late then. And so it will not do them any good. But listen, we need manpower. You've heard this before. We need manpower. We need some people that are willing to go.
Amen.
Have you ever asked God, would you want me to go? I've asked churches that I've had the privilege to pastor, I've asked them this question. Have you ever asked God if he wants you to stay here and be a part of this church? I'm talking about and be a productive member here. It could be that there's some sitting right here. You've enjoyed the blessings of this church all your life, but you could be used of God. And I'm not trying to get rid of members at Island Ford Baptist Church or any other church. Listen, Island Ford has got ministries and they need people. Thank God for a church that is as heavily invested, and I like it the fact that Brother Brunson said their church had partnered with Island Ford for the Light and Truth radio ministries, and thank God for that. And others could do it. Others could put it in their missions budget because they're getting the gospel out. Individuals could do these things. And I'm not here and he's not paying me to do an ad for the radio stations. But I want to tell you today that we are all laborers together with God. We need manpower. The radio station needs people. I appreciate the fact that Brother Matt, they was needing someone. When the pastor came to Island Ford, they lost one of the radio station workers. He took the pastorate of the church that Farrell was coming from, Vision Baptist Church, and he's still there.
Amen.
For the last 11 years.
Amen.
And so they went for a while without that employee, but it was beginning to get to where that it was needed. And I appreciate Brother Matt asking to be considered.
Amen.
God had burdened his heart with it. And I understand that he's doing a good job.
Amen.
And now God's called him to preach.
Amen.
And praise God for that.
Amen.
Listen, if you want something done, look for the busiest person in the congregation and ask them. It'll probably get done more than it will the one that's not doing anything. Because they probably won't do much more after you ask. That's not my notes either. But we need manpower. We need people that'll go. People that'll be willing to go. And listen, God will use. You know the story, most of us do, about Shubal Stearns coming to Sandy Creek, North Carolina, and planting a church. It was just him and his some of his family. And so the church began to grow, and they got to be several hundred, and several things began to happen, and they began to leave, and the thing about the regulators and all of this, and they began to leave, and they went over into Watauga, and they come on this way over to Kentucky and all of that, and when Shubal Stearns died, he had about 20 people, but they tell me that they can trace back about 2,000 churches that had started at a Sandy Creek Baptist Church.
Amen.
It's a Southern Baptist church today.
Yep.
As we look at it. Well, we need manpower. We need somebody that's willing to go.
Amen.
Somebody that's willing to go. Somebody that won't just volunteer, but that will pray and ask God what he'd have them to do. Amen. And when God puts it on their heart, they'll surrender. You see, I may be, again, this is one of these things I may, you may get sidewise with me as Brother Sexton said about this, but there was a great independent Baptist said, why don't you just volunteer until God calls you? Listen, I'm not being critical of him, but I don't see it that way. If there is a calling, I'm talking about for every individual.
Right.
And I'm not talking about everybody's called to preach.
Right.
Everybody's not called for something else.
Right.
But if we believe that God takes those lively stones and puts them in his house where he wants them.
Right.
Can I tell you something? In the past, I've done a little bit of rock laying. Mostly what I did was a facade. We had a concrete, you know, concrete blocks and we put the rocks on it where you butter them and you put them on there. We'd lay them out and we'd look and we'd pick them up and we'd start to put one in. No, I don't believe that's the one. It's got too much of a mortar joint in there and all of this. And so we put them where we thought they were best. And can I tell you, that's what God does when he is building his house. He talks about in 1 Corinthians 3:9, he said, for we are laborers together with God. And then he says after that, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. And then he goes back and talks about planting. That's husbandry is farming. And then if you will, it's agriculture. It's a metaphor of agriculture. And then you're God's building, that's an architectural metaphor. And you read about it, and then he begins to talk about being a wise master builder and all of that. So he takes those lively stones, as he called us, that are his children. He takes those lively stones and puts them in that household of faith where he wants them.
Amen.
Now let me pose you this question. If it's a volunteer, and you just volunteer and say, Lord, I'm going to go preach. I'm going to go as a missionary. Maybe some of these men here, and it could be that some of the radio people that God may call one day to go somewhere to pastor a church or to be a missionary or something like that. But if it's God called, God will have somebody. That there'll still be a household of faith, and there'll be a lively stone that'll fit right in that place. But if we just volunteer, what if we get in the wrong place?
That's right.
In the wall?
Yep.
And the wall falls down because we volunteered instead of being placed. Paul said he put me in the ministry. I'll give you this little story. I hadn't been out in Kansas very long and I met a pastor in Nebraska, and I preached a lot in Nebraska, especially in my first years out there. I was only about 50 miles from, 30 miles from the Nebraska line. And so, I was invited to a meeting, over in Omaha, Nebraska. And as I was there, I met a man. And just in a break, and I had introduced myself, and so when we first, he walked up to me and was just almost in my face, and he said, "Plato, Plato." And of course he was making then reference, you know, for the philosopher Plato in the history. He had never met anyone who was Plato. So he said, "Plato," he said, "give me a word of wisdom." And just like that, my old crazy mind, I said, "The wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood." And he went, and then I went to laughing. But then we got to talking, and I said, "Ever something about surrendering to preach? I don't like to hear that. That sounds like you was not willing." I said, "I wasn't.
That's right.
But God made me so."
Right.
He said, "But the Bible said, he that desireth." I said, "I did.
Yeah.
I wanted to do something for God, but I told God I'd do anything but preach."
Yeah.
But God put me where he did. I found out he did not believe in a call to preach. And he told me so. He said, "I've been pastoring so-and-so Baptist church for 35 years. And he said, I can't tell you that I'm called." And I'm just me. I said, "Well, you may not be. I am." And I walked off. And I wasn't trying to be mean. I was trying to get a point.
Right.
You're not going to convince me that there's not a call of God.
Yeah.
You've come about 51 years too late for me.
Right.
I want to tell you today that we really do need manpower.
Amen.
We need people, and we need somebody to go. And then Stennett Ballou said we need money,
right.
Power. There is power in money. I told you the other night about trading cars, and I told him how much I was, that I had, and I stood firm on that. And I've not always walked away with what I wanted when I made an offer, but I did that time. There is power in money. We need somebody to give.
Amen.
We was in a church some time ago and was given the largest offering personally that we've ever been given in our ministry. The offering just kept going. The man that was dedicating the offering, the deacon that was dedicating the offering, they dedicated it three times. They couldn't get the offering stopped. God got in it. And they was going to go on to something else, and they just, finally the pastor said, "I'm not touching it." And he just kept his hands off of it. And we started at 1:30, and I left there at 5:00. And I mean, God bless. They shouted. They ran around the there. And I found out, I saw these young boys, and I found out these young men, they've got such a burden to give. I'm telling you, it's the givingest church that I've ever been in. Not the amount of money, but they just keep on, keep on, keep on giving to the glory of God. And God just keeps feeding it back in. And they just can't seem to get to the bottom of the well. There's still more, like the woman with a meal barrel. She just kept dipping back in. And the meal kept on feeding them. And so I found out these young boys, they've got jobs. They mow yards in that area. And they do it for the purpose to be able to give when that a missionary comes by or somebody's in need. And so it's amazing. Young people mowing lawns. There's a pastor's wife, and I forgot who this was. But there's a pastor told me that his wife came to him. They did faith promise. And his wife came to him and said, "You know, we always go out and eat." And she said, "I usually order a soft drink." And she said, I know we give collectively from us. But she said, I want something that I can consider my own, that my husband has not given me. I want something that I can give of my own to the work of God.
Amen.
To Faith Promise Missions. She said, instead, she said, I always order a soft drink when we're out. But she said to her husband, would it be all, and he transferred that to me. He said, she said, would it be all right if I just order water and then you give me the amount? We'll look and see how much the soft drinks are and you give me that amount of money. And she said, then, I want to be able to give that to the Lord's work.
Amen.
From myself, right, personally. And listen, how many of us would even think about doing that? That's a small amount, would you not say? But little is much when God's in it. You save enough pennies and you'll have a dollar.
Right.
You save enough dollars and you'll have hundreds.
Yep.
And you save enough hundreds and you'll have thousands. And God can, when you put it in the hand of God and He blesses it and gives it back, that's when you can feed the multitudes with what God has given you. I want to tell you today, we need some people that one more time will get serious in giving to the glory and honor of God. And then not only do we need manpower and money power, but friends, today we need mighty power that only comes from God.
Amen.
Have you ever thought about making a prayer list? Have you ever thought about going and going down these halls and writing down the names of all of the missionaries? And then maybe you could put them in alphabetical order if you want to do so, or anything like that. That might make it easier for you to remember. But if you'll pray for them on a regular basis,
amen,
God can solidify that in your mind. I have what I call a mental prayer list. I don't have to look at paper. But we have a prayer list from our church, and it's broke down in categories. But I believe, did you not used to have missionary cards on the table when you ate, when the kids was growing up? And they would pull out, when they got ready to pray over their meals, they'd pull out the missionary. And they'd pray over that missionary during the time that they was asking God's blessings on the food. And then they would put it back on the backside and just keep rotating it. But there's ways to pray. Listen, God wants us to pray. I want to tell you, sometimes you don't know what you have helped to deliver someone from. We were coming down the road from Smithfield the other day, and right in front of us, I mean just a couple of cars in front of us, I was in the next to the left lane, and I was running with my cruise at a pretty good clip, as much as I thought I could, and all of that, stretching it just as much as I thought I could, and I was on my way, and all of a sudden the dust come up, there was some dirt on the road, and I looked, and here went this car, and it went off into the median, and it turned sideways and around, and a truck, I don't know where the car hit the truck or the truck hit the car, but that truck pulled off the way. But thank God today we was able to get stopped and was not involved in it.
Amen.
I wonder who was praying at that time,
right,
and prayed for us just to be far enough behind them to not get in. I want to tell you, there's things you say, oh, that's just coincidence. No. I believe it's God.
Amen.
I believe it's God. And God hears His people, and we ought to pray one for another. Our church has a missionary in India, and I believe he's been here. I've had the privilege to go over there and preach for him, Brother Obed Misael. And he's been in the ministry 51 years as well. He got saved. Canadian missionaries came to India when it was open to missionaries. And his grandparents got saved, and then his parents got saved. And then Brother Obed went to church as a young man, and in Sunday school, the pastor used John 3:16 and led him to Christ. I asked him, I said, was your family Hindu? He said, no, we are Christians. My name is Obed. Just hadn't registered with me. You know, names are more important maybe over there. And so he got saved. And his pastor gave him, this is 50 some years ago, his pastor gave him a handful of tracts and told him, said, go and knock on doors and give these out and come back and I'll give you some more. And so he done that and he began to give them out. And then here's his story. I got a hold of a bicycle that had one pedal. I didn't have the money to buy a pedal, but I took the bicycle to the next town after I finished that one and began to give out gospel tracts. And he said, I've not stopped. And I've been full time from that day that he gave me those tracts, and I went out to serve the Lord. Amen. He said, I had one shirt and one half pants, meaning the pants that come down to the knee. He said, I didn't have an extra shirt. I didn't have an extra half pant. He said, when I'd go home, my mama would give me something to put around it. And I put that around me to hide my nakedness while she washed my only clothes. And then I put them back on and wore them again. But he's never stopped and continued on to the glory of God. Amen. He's been threatened. They poured gas over him and threatened to kill him if he didn't deny Christ. And he's kept on to the glory of God. We don't know what it is to suffer. He's told me about how that a lot of times they didn't have enough food to eat. But we know a man that went over there to preach a meeting for him. And he told the kids in the children's home, he said, I forget how many, I believe it was 1 rupee, but it was just a very meager amount of money. He said, if you'll listen to me for 15 minutes while I tell you about Jesus, if you'll listen to me, I'll give each one of you 1 rupee. That boy was a Hindu. His family, in other words, was Hindu. He said that intrigued him so much. I met him. He said that intrigued him so much that somebody would give so vast amount of money and for me to listen for 15 minutes to anything, it intrigued me so much. I had to know who this Jesus that he told us about, and he got saved by the grace of God. Amen. And I was at his church and we prayed in that church, the church that he pastors today. Amen. A Baptist church to the glory of God, because somebody was willing to give. Right. And somebody was willing to go. And they took the right message and preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God did his word. Amen. So somebody went, somebody prayed, somebody gave, and the gospel done its work. Amen. And he still will. We need help today. Yes. We need prayer today. Amen. We need people that are willing to give. Amen. Now listen. We have people, we just need them involved. Right. We have money, we just need it to be given. Right. I heard about this preacher that's going to do a building program. And so he gets up on Sunday morning and announces, folks, I got good news. He said, we've got the money to build our building. The bad news is it's still in your pocket. We've got people. We've got the resources. Yep. We've got the message.
Amen.
Now what are we going to do about it?
Right.
Father, honor your word, please, in Jesus' name. Do that work in every heart that needs to be. Amen. Thank you, Lord.